Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Inky Pinky Forest by Helen Ridling is the first of three books set in this magical but ever-changing forest created by Princess Georgia. The forest is admired by many who come from far and wide for its beauty. However, there is a problem, and it's been caused by Prina the dinosaur. Fortunately, Prina and Princess Georgia have loving friends to help heal the rift between the two. There is nothing like the love and care of good friends when things are not going well. Helen describes herself as a novice writer. She wears many caps, a mother, grandmother, wife, teacher, nurse, a number of other caps which all support the role of the writer. Helen lives in the top of South Island of New Zealand in the province of Marlborough, a beautiful place filled with sunshine, often takes the prize for the most hours of sunshine in the country. Helen Ridling, author of the delightful children's book, Inky Pinky Forest, joining us from New Zealand on This Week in America. Helen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We are doing a YouTube version of this, which will be on YouTube. And if you go to our website, you'll be able to take a look at it there by just clicking on videos. It looks like the sun is out there again today, too. I think you hit the jackpot again today. You got sunshine there?
Yes, we do. A little bit cooler than yesterday.
Well, it sounds like sunshine every day, and that's good. And it has to be nice riding weather when you feel good. You get up and you start the day and everything is going well. You've got sunshine. I love what you've done with this book, one of a series, and we'll talk about that during the program, Inky Pinky Forest. Where was the inspiration to write this book? Where did the story idea come from?
It actually came from Georgia. Georgia is a little girl, obviously, and she lives in kind of a fantasy world, really. And she started talking about this dinosaur. And it's kind of like I got inside her imagination.
Oh, yes. Well, and you do such a great job of, like, bringing her out and telling the story together, tying it together and telling it so well. Are some of these characters based on, like, real-life people, or are these just imaginary people that you drew up for the most part?
Note that each book has a main child character, and they are real. Excuse me.
Yeah, the book is that we're talking about, Inky Pinky Forest by Helen Ridling. That's R-I-D-L-I-N-G. You'll find this and other books by Helen if you check Amazon. And go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We'll have the link on there so you can go directly and get all of the information and order the books there as well. The books are so delightfully done, a great book for children to read, for you to read with children, for you to read to children, a great storyline. What was we'll go back to the inspiration, because I'm really fascinated by this. You tell me the one person, Georgia, is that where the story started, where you had this one person and that sort of brought everything together in tying the whole story together?
No, she was the platform maker,
yes,
of the story.
Yes.
So she told me all about this fantasy world, and which at that point was just Prina the dinosaur. And so I actually had a window all covered in pictures of Prina because I felt I had to get that one right. And then after a while, she's helped to build the story. And then she went about her life and I wrote.
You did such a nice job. And you said something that's interesting. When you create a character like Prina in this case, how important is it to visualize the character so you actually see in your mind who Prina is? And because of that, you're able to bring her character alive to us, the readers of the book.
Mm-hmm. Prina became very alive. In reality, she was a little plastic dinosaur that didn't really look like a dinosaur. And so she became, she came to life. And I guess two imaginations together can do great things.
Well, it really can. And each person, each child that reads the book will have their own imagination where the story is going and think it through in their particular minds, which makes the storyline so unique. Let's talk about putting this book together. it stands out from others, and you read reviews, and it's like, boy, this book is really well done. What makes your book, this book in particular, Inky Pinky Forest, stand out different from maybe some of the other books that are out there?
I had a plan. I wanted my books to be different, obviously. I looked around at the majority of children's books, and there are a lot of pictures, lots. They really told the story. But I thought, no, I want this to be a time where the parent or the caregiver and the child can interact together and in reading a story. Yes, there are pictures to sort of, you know, a talking point or a feedback point, but it was designed to be an interaction story so that at some point the reader and the listener would interact together.
That's interesting, because you look at some of these books and the pictures are almost overwhelming. You don't even need words. You can just sort of follow the story along by the picture. You've got words that you can read, have read to the young person, and discuss that. And I really think it builds the vocabulary. You've done a wonderful job in bringing that part forward. Now, Helen Ridling, if you're Googling, that's R-I-D-L-I-N-G. The book is Inky Pinky Forest. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Coming to us, as I mentioned, from New Zealand. Talk about publishing in the United States. Talk about the decision that went into publishing here. So sometimes I mention New Zealand and you're thinking, boy, can I get a book here in the United States? And the answer to that is yes. Talk about publishing here, why you decided to do that.
Well, when I started, I tried to find a publisher here, and I guess because my books are a wee bit different, and also there's a lot of competition. There are many writers here, excellent writers, and I thought, no, I'd like to go further because it's a bigger population than the rest of the world. We're a very small country, and so it sort of came about by accident, really, and that's actually how it happened, by accident.
Sometimes good things happen by accident. The book is available here in the United States. All the usual platforms will send you to Amazon. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, the link is there for Helen's page on Amazon, and you'll get information on the book. Talk about the message. When you create a story like this, besides entertaining, what are you attempting to do? Is there a message that you would like to get across to the young people, and even to the adults who are reading the book with the young people?
Very definitely. I wanted a book that working mums could take the time to read. So that's why it's in chapters. And so therefore, the parent could say, okay, end of chapter, got to go and do what I have to go and do. But in it, there's lots of little things, like there's the friendships between the various little toy characters, and how in the end, disaster occurs, and how they work it out so that everybody gets back together and the friendship resumes. And it's really, there's lots of little things where there's a suggestion that there are two worlds running together. There's our world, and there is the diverse world of the imagination, because we've got a cat who talks. And, it plays its part in the story, and it's really to get people to notice things and to start talking about, hey, does my cat talk? We might never know. But it's really just keeping people interested. So it's really, there's so much, but it's hard to sort of fit into just a few sentences, really.
Yes.
That it's to me, it's a story that kids should feel that they want to go back to.
What age group are you specifically targeting with Inky Pinky Forest?
This is quite humorous, because my grandchildren are my critics. And so obviously it's for children who have a night story or a day story. And but my 15-year-old granddaughter said, well, I'd read it. So there are things in it that do appeal to an older age group, and it's, but basically it is younger children. So we're looking at, you know, the 7 and below, really. But anybody else can get something out of it.
Well, they really can, and that's why it's so difficult sometimes. Everybody wants you to put it into a category. This is designed for second graders. This is designed for fifth graders. And sometimes it's more than just one category. The message you have here, told in such a delightful way, is something that will be inspirational for any number of age group that you're talking with. When you put this, you've got this message in your mind and you're trying to relay the message to a young person, in particular the age group that we're talking about, how challenging is that to get that message? You don't want to use too many words. You want to think on their level so they're understanding where you're going with the story. How challenging is that? How long does it take to really get that message in that story form that you feel, okay, I've done it now. This is where I want it to be.
Well, in some ways that's quite easy because it's like you step inside a child's world, excuse me, and there's a saying that said mothers operate at the age of the youngest child, and it's like I keep thinking of that and I step back into that age group. So it's... And then it just sort of takes over because adults don't really work with their imagination in the everyday world as such, but children do. It's everyday part of their life from morning till night.
Oh, yes.
And so that's quite easy for me.
The book is Inky Pinky Forest. The author is Helen Riddling, our guest coming to us from New Zealand via Skype on This Week in America. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned this is one in a series. Talk about the books that you've written and those that you're intending to write and making this part of a series.
That's right. It is part of a series. So Inky Pinky Forest is the first one. The second one is... The Far Side of the Forest, and the last one of that series is Shadows in the Forest, and it's three stories, three separate children as the main character, but it's still involving all the other ones. And in this process over the three stories, the children's world is changing, and our world in itself is changing constantly. So there's little things that come up that have changed. And it's how the kids deal with that. So the last story is the boy is Max. He's growing up. He realizes that he's growing up and that he can be expected to do more challenging growing up things that he never thought that he was allowed to because he's got two sisters.
Interesting. Now, are these the other books, are they available now or are you still finishing them?
No, they're available now on Amazon.
Okay, so you can go there and once you find Inky Pinky Forest, you've got all the other books by Helen Riddling there as well. And again, we'll have that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned a novice writer. You really enjoy this. It's something you're gifted as a writer. Are you looking into writing more than just children's stories or do you find this is the niche that you're really enjoying right now?
That's interesting. Because I don't know if I could restrain myself to just children's writing. I tend to, at the moment, I have lots of things that are started, but it's not the time to finish them. And they are not junior stories. They're a little bit older. So I think it would be very restrictive for me to say that I'm only a child writer.
Helen Riddling, our guest. The book is Inky Pinky Forest. You'll find it at Amazon with the other books in the series as well. What type of training qualifications do you have as a writer? It's obviously something you've wanted to do for a long while. It's something you do very well. What in the background led you to this path of writing these stories?
Well, in 2010, I had an accident, which turned my world upside down. And in all the publications, the newspaper, flyers, was training for creative writing. So I thought, well, it could help me sort of change my world. And so I did a correspondence course with the New Zealand Institute of Business Studies, and this is what has come out of it. It was a great course, good for me personally, but it also brought to light some of the things that had been sitting in the background. You know, I have written things. You write stories just for the sake of it.
Yes, yes.
And then I realized that, you know, maybe I do have something. Let's sort of investigate and see where we go with this.
Well, where you've gone so far, and this is just the beginning, is Helen and her books available at Amazon. Inky Peaking Forest, if you're going to Google Helen Riddling, you'll find all the books there as well. And again, you can link on by going to our website. What do you hope these books achieve with the young people and interacting with their parents? There's so much there, more than just an entertaining story. What do you hope to achieve with these books?
I would really like them to start off an interaction, a daily interaction, if possible, with children and parents or caregivers, whichever it might be, and them start talking about how they feel about things. Are these things real in their world, or is it imagination? And so starting up a communication point, I think that's really important, but also to keep the spirit of reading going. It would be dreadful if reading slipped away to nothingness, because, you know, where would our imagination go? But also too, for children to learn that there's all sorts of topics that adults aren't always so keen to talk about that are just normal. For example, in one of the stories, one of the animal characters dies, and we talk about it. The kids hold a funeral, and it's like, so often we shy away from these things with our children because Yes. We think they don't understand. But in actual fact, they understand a lot more than what we think they do. And if they were encouraged to keep exploring their world, then maybe as adults, then they can keep that going.
You know, that's real life that you're talking about. And you're right. I firmly believe this. Children know we don't give them sometimes enough credit. And if we have a dialogue with them, then we can have an impact and maybe dealing with some of their fears, answering some of their questions the right way. That interaction is so important. Now, when you have a book, you've got the hard copy, you've got Kindle, you've got ebooks, you've got paperback. What's your favorite out of those? What's, if somebody's thinking about buying, I'd like to get a copy of Inky Forest for my kids. What's the best form? What would you recommend for your book?
Once upon a time, I would have said hard copy only.
Yes.
But I've changed my views because I've come across a lot of different people who have views that differ to mine. I personally like a hard copy because, you know, you can read it wherever you go. Whereas I know that other people do that with ebooks and Kindle and that sort of thing. I guess it depends on what you're used to and what fits into your lifestyle. I do tend to think that technology books have issues when it comes to failure in the technology. You can't, whereas a written one, yes, the children might scribble on it, fine, but it's still there. The book is still there. It's still alive. Yes. But when your technology fails, you have a problem.
Yeah, it's always nice to go to the shelf and or go to the coffee table and pick up that book and open it up and go back to where you want to go. There's something to be said for doing that. I've got a minute or so left here in the program. What has this experience been like for you, having these books published, having them available in the United States and basically worldwide? People are buying them from all over with Amazon and getting the feedback from the readers and the fact that you are touching their families in a very positive way. What's this been like for you?
Well, this has been a very interesting, challenging, challenging journey in that I came into this really quite naive about the processes, and I have learnt a lot. I have I have stood back and marvelled at how all this is just falling together. It's I'm in New Zealand, my publisher is in America, and readers are everywhere in between. And it's really quite quite awe-inspiring, really.
Well, it really is, and the books are real. This is amazing now. You, like I said, you're in New Zealand, you got readers all over the world, the publisher is here in the United States, we're here in the United States, and we have no boundaries when it comes to talking about books anymore. And Helen Riddling, if you're going to Google, that's L-I-D-L-I-N-G, Riddling. The book is Inky Pinky Forest, but that's one of three. And all of those you will find on the usual places. I'll send you to Amazon, probably the best place to go, the one you remember. And that's the link we'll have up on our website. Helen, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on the success of your books, the amazing stories you're telling, the messages you're getting across to young people. We will stay in touch, hopefully more books, and we can talk about those. Thank you for being with us from New Zealand, where it's always sunny, it seems like, on the program today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been great to be on your show.
Thank you. It's been our pleasure. Once again, it's Helen Riddling. The book is Inky Pinky Forest. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.